Hello, good afternoon. This is Shaladio coming to you once again on another episode of Random Gist. It's been a while now, but we have another gist today. The title of today's gist is Suffering and Smiling. Suffering and Smiling. I started a train of thought today on Twitter, just about the situation that we have in church. Well, I've noticed this situation in a few churches that I've attended over the course of say like the last 20 years or so. So I just want to discuss that today and just put a few thoughts forward. Now, I started off this afternoon by saying that in the Pentecostal circles, with particular emphasis on the faith movement, that's the part of Christianity or the churches that emphasize the victorious work in Christ Jesus, we seem to have a slight issue with how to manage situations that don't exactly turn out the way that our faith expected. I'll give you an example. Say, for instance, now in the faith circles, we have teachings on divine healing, we have teachings on divine prosperity, we have teachings on divine favor. So the Bible makes provisions for us to have favor in the sight of all men. So it means that if I'm job hunting, God's favor is upon my life, and God's favor will single me out potentially for me to get a job or for me to get a role when there is a competitive process in place. So we have situations like that. We also have situations of divine healing. Maybe when we're sick in our bodies, we believe God for healing in our bodies. And we've seen miracles over and over again in people's lives. I've seen miracles in my own personal life as well, of God turning things around in my body or in the body of my family members. So it's not disputable that God has given this word to us. That's the word of faith message that can potentially transform our lives and can potentially rescue us from difficult and desperate situations. But where I begin to think about is this: it is not in 100% of all the cases that we have recorded absolute victory in our lives, and we then have a problem on how to manage situations or how to respond to situations that did not exactly turn out the way we expected them to turn out. Now, I mean, this, I'm being raw here and I'm being real here. These are issues that you hardly hear talked about, because we're quite happy to gloss over these things or sweep these things under the carpet. But there are people hurting out there. There are people confused out there in church. In fact, not only church members are confused, even leaders in church are confused and cannot handle certain situations that come up in their personal lives because of our failure to manage this internal conflict that occurs in our hearts when we have situations outside us that do not conform to our expectations that were built on the injection of the word of faith into our spirits. So those are the things that I just want to, randomly talk about today. That how do we manage these situations? What do we say to people? I mean, we have preached to a man that, if he prays in the name of Jesus, his prayers will be answered. And then the man goes away and prays over a dying relative, and the relative eventually dies. What do we say to the man? How do we comfort this man? How do we explain explain the contradiction between what has actually happened to him and the expectation that was built in his heart as a result of the entry of the word of faith into his heart. Now, I am not being faithless here. I mean, I've used my faith in difficult situations and I've obtained results. I've obtained concrete results, so I am not faithless. But I have also had situations where I exercised my faith and I didn't exactly get what I was expecting. And then I had unanswered questions for weeks and for months about the faithfulness and the integrity of God. And these were questions that I could not put to people around me, because all I could see around me was everyone boasting of how the Lord has been good to them, and people were not showing me their failure points, they were only showing me their success points. So I wanted to start believing that I was the one who had something wrong with me, that everything was right with my spiritual leaders. They never had any mistakes, they never had any shortcomings, they hit the ground running, they didn't fall down when they were trying to walk. And I never heard about their struggles. All I heard about was that, oh, they brought out their Bibles, they applied their faith, and Satan ran away and they got their victories. So when I began to walk in faith, I fell down a few times and I was wondering, did these people also fall down the way I, you know, fell down, you know, trying to walk and trying to run? And I was suffering and I was a bit confused, and I just couldn't place my fingers on exactly what was going on. I'll give you another example. I mentioned that again on Twitter today. I was believing God for a job. I was working with a top five accounting firm in Lagos, and I wanted to change jobs, and I applied to another top five accounting firm in Lagos that had a more potentially lucrative package. And the way they set the thing up was that you go through five interviews. So you go for the first interview, and if you pass the first interview, you get moved on to the second one. If you pass the second one, you get moved on to the third one. If you pass the third one, you get moved on to the fourth one. If you pass the fourth one, you get moved on to the fifth one. Now, the fifth one is the last one where you actually see the managing partner. And the managing partner is not going to ask you any technical question. All he's just going to do is look through your CVs, just drink coffee with him, and he tells you to go, because all the other four people have already made that decision on his behalf as to whether you are suitable for employment in that organization or not. And this is what happened. I went through stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, and I got to stage five. Now, by the time you get to stage five, your academic prowess, your technical competence, coupled with your prayers and God's divine favor, and you get to stage five, everyone says to you that, oh, don't worry, brother, you are already there. And I also believed I was there, and I wasn't slacking up at all on my prayers and speaking of God's word into the atmosphere. And I went there with loads of expectation. I saw the man. He didn't ask anything that proved to be difficult at all. He looked through my profile. We had a friendly chat. We had coffee together, and then he said I should go. And I went back home thanking God, praising God, and waiting for that letter to come. And I received the shock of my life. And what was it? We are not going to proceed any further with this employee recruitment process. We wish you better luck in your future endeavors. Look, how I made it through the day that day, I don't understand. And you see, in that pain, in that hurt, I could not relate with God, because all I was ever told about God was that there's only victory and overcoming in God. And all I've ever heard in church was that there was only victory and overcoming in God. So where was this coming from? I didn't understand, and I was suffering. And this went on for a few days. I was confused. I went to church. I'm not sure I could tell anybody, because that's not part of the testimonies that are going to be shared, you know, on the pulpit. So that didn't conform to the testimonies. So I was just down, and, you know, I was just sad. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I was not happy. I was sad. And then one morning, I got up to go to work, and I walked into my dad's room. And at that point, it was just too much for me. I just sank into his feet, and I was just crying. And the man asked him, "Say, why are you crying?" I told him that this is exactly what happened. And he just said to me, "Say, look, I want to ask you a question. Pick five most successful people in Nigeria that you know of." And I picked them. And he said, "The first person that you picked, did he work in the organization?" I said, "No." "The second person you picked, did he work in the organization?" I said, "No." "The third person you picked, did he work in the organization?" I said, "No." "The fourth person, no." "The fifth person, no." And then he said to me, "I'm sorry. Well, they didn't take you in the organization, but that has nothing to do with your future." I mean, that coming from my dad was a big comfort. And I got up and I left that, look, whether I worked with the organization or not, my destiny in God will be fulfilled. Now, you see, my vulnerability, my weakness, everything had showed it to my dad. And in that point of weakness, he was able to speak to me, speak words of comfort to me that lifted me. But this vulnerability is not what I would go to church to expose to anyone. It's not what I would go to church to expose to my pastor. In fact, the fear I even had was that if I went to expose that sort of vulnerability to my pastor, I could even get subbed as one of the bad examples of the message, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that he did that to me, but you see, the intensity with which, you know, the messages will come out, people will come out to give testimonies. You just didn't want to slack up and be the odd example in anything at all. So you will just, you know, cover yourself up and say nothing. And this was something that, you know, I battled with, you know, for years, that okay, if I'm there must be people out there who are also not doing fine, so to speak, until they eventually get how the process or how the thing works. So how do we manage them? What do we say to them? I mean, what do you say to a man that is bereaved? I mean, whether you like it or not, people are growing old. I mean, 10 years ago, compared between 10 years ago and now, less of my friends still have surviving parents. So what are you talking about? I mean, whether you have faith or not, I mean, people's parents are dying. You can't deny that, and you can't faith that away. You understand? You know, as people are growing, their parents are growing. So you can't deny that. So what do you say to such people? I mean, how do we comfort such people? What provisions do we have in church? Do we know the right things to say to people who are hurting? Do we know the right things to say to people whose lives are currently not conformed to the message that we are putting out in church today? Because if everyone has to come out and put up a show, it means that they are suffering and they are smiling in church. And then it then begs the question that if I cannot go to church to cry about my pain, then where exactly should I run to if I can't go to church? And I begin to look at the Gospels. There were men and women who came and cried to Jesus. They rolled on the floor before Jesus and they cried, said, "Lord, help me. Help me. My son is sick. Help me. My daughter is dying. Help me." Now, they cried. They exposed their vulnerability before Jesus. So, and if Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, I mean, if Jesus is the head of the church, rather, and we are the body of Christ, so how come we cannot go to the body of Christ and fall down on the floor and tell Jesus that, "Look, I am broken. Just fix me. I am completely broken today. Just fix me." But it appears that when I get to church, I see people who are posing as though they are all fixed up, and I can't see broken people. But I know that it is all a farce. I know that it is all Nollywood drama that people are hurting, people are suffering, people are having masturbation problems, but they cannot talk to anybody in church. They cannot even tell their pastors. So you can imagine now that if I have a problem and I cannot tell my pastor and I cannot go to church to tell somebody, to pray with me, to see my vulnerability and help me out of it, then what exactly are we talking about? What exactly is the purpose of going to church? What exactly are we doing in church? That is the question that I begin to ask myself. That are our churches just social centers where we come to exhibit our great testimonies, our great attires, or our churches places where people can come, hurting people can come to cry before the Lord and receive comfort and receive exhortation and receive deliverance for the things going on in their lives? I remember some years ago I was conducting a service in a denomination that I used to belong to many years ago, and during that service I just decided that, look guys, I don't even know what to preach to you today. I came with loads of stuff prepared, but I just don't think it's right for me to proceed beyond this point. What we're going to do is this: we are going to stand up on our feet and we're going to cry unto the Lord. There must be something that is hurting you here today. There must be something that you get home to cry about in your secrecy. There must be something that you are asking questions about. There must be something. There just must be something. I mean, you can't tell me that everything is okay. I don't believe what I'm seeing here. You guys are not showing me the real stuff. I don't believe what I am seeing here. There must be something deep that you guys are not talking about. And that's what we're going to deal with today. We're going to cry in God's presence. We're going to pray and we're going to cry unto the Lord. And we're going to ask Him for answers to these things. And we're not going to leave this place until we know that God has touched our hearts with His mighty hand. And then we began to pray, we began to cry, we began to pray, we began to cry. I said, don't look at the guy next to you. Don't pose for anybody. If you have questions, if you have secret thoughts, just cry and pray to God. And I said, we are all equal. I said, me too, I have my own. I am the pastor here, but I have my own, and I will cry. And we began that, and we began to pray, we began to cry, we began to pray, we began to cry. And guess what? One lady came up. And I said, look, I don't have the answer. So you are not going to meet me to wave the magic wand of prayer that we are all going to pray individually to God and cry out to Jesus. But this lady, you know, decided to come out, and we were praying together. And what had happened was that she had just had a miscarriage, and it was very, very painful, very painful. She told me about it. And you see, at the time that she told me about it, we also did not have a child. And we also had gone through a miscarriage, we had gone through an ectopic pregnancy, and everything was all muddled up. So I told the lady, I said, I understand your pain. We've been through this before as well, but I would not tell you that I have the answer, as in I have the magic wand to wave the magic wand. All I can say is that I have seen miracles in the Bible. I'm also believing God for my own miracle, but I will stand in prayer with you. We will agree together. We will cry unto the Lord together. We will weep together until we get a release from heaven that it is all sorted. So I didn't have a child. She didn't have a child. We were there before God, and we were crying and looking up to God and just letting go of the hurt, letting go of the pain that had held us back over this situation. And you wouldn't believe, I was just thinking about it today. This was some years back. Do you know that her daughter invited me to become her friend on Instagram? I also remember also that when Ian was being dedicated, this was like 9 years after we got 10 years. She was dedicated 10 years after we got married. That she also came and danced on the altar with me. I took pictures and I took photographs with her. And I remember that one day, one day some years ago we cried together on the altar of God. So do you have services where people can just come and cry before the Lord and just let go of those hurts before the Lord? People want to express themselves. People just want to express the pain, the hurt, and let it go. And you see, until you let that go, until you let that go and let Jesus touch it, you cannot be healed and you cannot be made whole. That is exactly my point. So we need such situations. We have grown so insensitive to people around us. We are not sensitive anymore to people around us. We are so pompous, we are so proud, and so when people who are hurting or going through this kind of situations are around us, we look down on them, not knowing and not realizing that you also could be going through such kind of situation in some weeks to come, or some months to come, or some years to come, and you also be just as confused as these people, not knowing where to turn, not knowing what to do. There are some situations that you definitely will need people around you, and let me tell you the truth, you can pray through any situation and get a result. Seriously, if you can pray, you will get a result. But also, there are some situations that are so crushing that to even open your mouth to pray is difficult. Oh no, I lost a friend of mine, of my best friend, in a car crash like almost 10 years ago now. And this happened in America, and I mean, his face was all over the papers, all over the news. And I mean, before my very eyes, I watched Christians disappear from my life. I watched church folk tell other church folk that if this could happen to Shola, then this is a sign of bad omen, let's avoid him, and all sorts of silly things, I mean, that I noticed, in church. And it was such a painful period. To even pray was difficult. It was so difficult. You just pray, and to even praise God, you could feel the burden, you could feel the pain. And this went on for weeks, and for months, and until I was able to crawl out of that situation. I just was able to crawl after a while. But what am I saying? I mean, this was a time where people felt that look, if this could have happened to him, then God must be against him, you know. And you begin to wonder that, I mean, is this how God really thinks? And that also begins to make you think yourself that when you go through a situation like this, that indeed could it be that God is against you? But come on, I mean, who out there has never lost a friend? I'm not saying everybody in the world has lost a friend in a car crash, but what I'm saying is that, I mean, there must be loads of people out there who have lost a friend. Come on. So why would it be that on every such occasion it meant that God deserted them? I don't understand that. I don't know where that came from. But you see, that's the vibe and the feedback and the body language that church folk sent back. They sent it verbally, they sent it by their body language. People did not even call me again, and such flaky stuff. But the point is this, was that I noticed that the evangelicals were able to address the situation. Now, evangelicals, I mean, I'm not saying that they got it right, but there was the human side of them that attempted to bring comfort to the hearts of people. But I noticed that Pentecostals, because of the faith teaching, which is only geared in the positive direction, they were not able to handle situations that moved in the reverse direction. They didn't have the right words to say to people, and people were crushed, people gave up on faith, people turned back from church, people were emotionally damaged in the process of trying to find their feet walking by faith. So that's just what I want to share. How exactly do we handle these situations? What do we say to people who have found themselves in the midst of this kind of situations and this kind of conflicts? How do we comfort them? Do we know what to say? Do we know exactly what to say to them? Do we know how to tell them that, oh yes, God indeed is a good God, irrespective of what has happened to you? Do we know how to encourage such people? Do we know how to bring strength back into the souls of such people? Do we know how to get these people back to have a spring in their step again? I mean, this was, difficult moments, you know, that I had to go through. And it was like, oh boy, it was such a funny time. If I let me give you one gist. Now, when that crash happened, I called somebody that I knew very well, and I said to the guy, I said, look man, this thing has happened though, and I explained what happened. I said, to be honest with you, right now I am so confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn, what to do. Can you help me? And the guy said, oh, give me some time, I'll call you back. And I never got a call back on that situation. But I got to hear later on, you know, that I got to hear, you know, that some teachings were done. He had my name on it, you know, and exactly the way I described the situation, he described it. And he also described that I called him for help. And what he said on that tape was that he told me that he had nothing to say to help me, but in reality what he told me was that he was going to call me back. Now seriously, that was painful. And you see, for somebody to call you and admit, another human being to call you and admit to you that, man, I am completely broken, help me out, I mean, that takes a lot. That takes a lot. And that's even one of the reasons why women find it easier to call out for help and men don't. I mean, seriously, I locked up for several months, you know, after that experience. I just thought, look, if I'm looking for help, I mean, is it really worth it calling anybody in church if this sort of a thing had happened to me? But don't worry, I've not lost my faith in church. I've not lost my faith in the body of Christ. That was just one bad example, or one example gone wrong. I don't think everybody in church is like that. I'm not stereotyping every church to be that way. I'm not stereotyping everybody to be that way. But what I'm saying to you is that was highly discouraging, and it will make you begin to wonder. And you know, some days ago someone sent me a direct message, and the direct message, you know, it ended in, please help me. And when I saw it, I began to cry and said, for a human being to say to another human being, please help me, that person needs help, that person is broken, that person is shattered. Now let me ask you a question. Can people confidently come to you and say, please help me, in their desperate and dark moments? Can you be trusted to actually help those people with whatever you have? I mean, do you carry yourself in such a way that people can think that they can approach you and say, please help me, I am completely shattered and I don't know what to do? I mean, that brought tears to my face. And I was thinking that how many people are out there who are weeping silently, who are crying silently? How many people are out there going to church every Sunday and there is nobody that they can perceive that will be able to listen to them and be able to see that they are completely broken and shattered and they need our help? Now, those were the things that began to affect me today, that I began to send those tweets that, look, what, how exactly are we constituted in church? Do we have a place where people are confident enough to come and, you know, express expose their vulnerability so that Jesus can touch their souls? Or do we have a place where we are all acting posh and acting as though everything is okay, but all is not okay? And that is why we now have a bunch of saints in church who are suffering and smiling. So I just want to stop here. I mean, this is just a rant. I didn't quote scriptures. I didn't preach at you, but just something for us to think about, you know, something for us to ruminate about. Just think about it. Let me know what you think. You can catch me up on Twitter. My handle is Shola Adio, SolaAdio. It's been nice gisting with you. And the title of the gist again was Suffering and Smiling. Thank you very much. Bye.